Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Kimberly Dvorak. She is the Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. Going to be talking about the journalists killed in the Ukraine. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, in the second hour with his latest brown paper report, White School Kids Assaulted as Slavery Revenge. All right. Well, let's look at some news, shall we? And this one is interesting. The best that anyone can figure, Putin is simply trying to rebuild either the United States or worse, the old Russian Empire. Now at least one Russian lawmaker has called for the United States to give up Alaska in this pursuit. Russian lawmaker made an outlandish demand over the weekend that the United States return Alaska and a historic settlement in California, in addition to paying reparations to Russia over crippling American-led sanctions that have put Moscow's economy in a tailspin. Oleg Machefov, a member of the State of Duma, outlined on Russia's state television a set of demands for the United States and Ukraine after Kiev's demilitarization is completed. This according to the Express newspaper in the United Kingdom. Now, the demand includes the return of Alaska, which the U.S. purchased from Russia's empire in 1867 as part of the Alaska Purchase, and the former Russian settlement of Fort Ross, California. Fort Ross, California. That's 90 miles north of San Francisco, so you might as well start packing your bags, because who knows what's going to happen, right? You hear about this fake news, anti-Russia. John Rappaport wrote an interesting column here entitled Anti-Russia, Then Arrest the Clintons. On April 23, 2015, the New York Times ran a story under the headline, Cash Flowed to Clinton Foundation Amidst Russia Uranium Deal. I quote the Times, quote, The sale gave the Russians control of one-fifth of all uranium production capacity in the United States. But the untold story behind that story is one that involves not just the Russian president, but also a former American president, Bill Clinton, and a woman, Hillary Clinton, who would have liked to have been the next president. Quote, At the heart of the tale are several men, leaders of the Canadian mining industry, who have been major donors to the charitable endeavors of former President Bill Clinton and his family. Members of that group built, financed, and eventually sold off to Russia a company that would become known as Uranium One. Frank Gastara, mining financier, has donated $31.3 million to the foundation run by former President Bill Clinton. Since U.S. uranium is considered a strategic asset with implications for national security, the deal to sell Uranium One and U.S. uranium to Putin had to be approved by a committee composed of representatives from a number of the United States government agencies. Among the agencies that eventually signed off was the State Department. Oh, and by the way, that was headed by Mr. Clinton's wife, Hillary Rodham Clinton. As the Russians gradually assumed control of Uranium One in three separate transactions from 2009 to 2013, Canadian records show a flow of cash made its way to the Clinton Foundation. Uranium One's chairman used his family's foundation to make four donations totaling $2.35 million. These contributions were not publicly disclosed by the Clintons, despite an agreement Mrs. Clinton had struck with the Obama White House to publicly identify all donors. Other people with ties to the company made donations as well. And shortly after the Russians announced their intention to acquire majority stake in Uranium One, Mr. Clinton received $500,000 for a speech. Yes, for a speech in Moscow from a Russian investment bank with links to the Kremlin that was promoting Uranium One stock. And as Rappaport says, note to the women of The View, try a citizen's arrest of the Clintons. Stand up, muscle up. Put the cuffs on these traitors. Live stream it. Thank you for your service. What's that? You won't do it? You're just a gaggle of monumental BS with your big-time anti-Russian talk? So you want to arrest Tucker Carlson, but not the Clintons. I see. Yeah, the double standard. In other news, despite the fact that it was a serious issue for months before Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, Joe Biden cynically used TikTokers to blame soaring inflation on the conflict in the Ukraine. Well, about 30 popular internet figures attended a Zoom briefing conducted by the White House, after which they took to their social media accounts to discuss what the White House had briefed them on. Ellie Zeller, 18-year-old Instagram star who has more than 10 million followers, also posted a pro-Biden video, as she was asked to do. Her video was titled, "Why is gas so expensive?" The influencers were approached by the White House because of their work with a nonprofit named Gen Z for Change, although it's unclear if any of them were paid. In the video, she did not avoid the fact that she had contacted the Biden administration. Quote, "Why is gas so expensive? And why is the United States inflation rate at a four-time decade high?" she asked. "I had the opportunity to ask the White House why gas down the street is $7, and here's what they said. Quote, "The first obvious reason is that we're getting out of a two-year pandemic. When it goes up, the price goes up." But the call was predominantly about Ukraine and Russia. So how does that relate? The teenager, who doesn't have a degree in economics, asked, quote, "Russia is one of the top three producers of oil, and it's actually their number one revenue source. Now, with Putin starting this horrific fight between the Ukraine and Russia, nobody wants to work with him and do international trade." Zeller, whose one-minute video was uploaded last Sunday, was one of 30 TikTok stars who joined an official Zoom meeting last Thursday with White House officials and National Security Council staffers, according to the Washington Post. And Biden's message was spread in light of the announcement last week that inflation was up 7.9% compared to last year. By the way, the highest increase in 40 years. Cost of living has been mounting for months, and just 4 days after Putin invaded Ukraine, the latest report period closed, which means Americans are being warned to prepare for even bigger increases in April. It has become a matter of survival for Biden to shift the blame for tanking the economy as his approval ratings plummet. The outcome of the November midterm elections is predicted to be a grim one for his Democratic Party. And according to the Washington Post, Matt Miller, special advisor at the White House National Security Council for Communications, said Psaki led the briefing. Oh, boy. Rob Flattery, White House Director of Digital Strategy, told the TikTokers that their reach and influence could be considered a, quote, critically important avenue for reaching the American public. And Zeller could be heard asking a question about inflation and what it meant for the country and young people during the meeting based on audio obtained by the Post. And among the issues cited by Psaki were supply chain breakdowns, the pandemic, and the increasing cost of energy, even before the Russian invasion. Now, in regards to gas prices, she placed the blame squarely on Putin. "It's his actions, President Putin, that is prompting the rising gas prices," Psaki explained. "That is what's happening." In an interview with the Washington Post, Zeller said it was an honor to have the opportunity to explain complex situations to young people. "I'm here to relay the information in a more digestible manner to my followers. I would consider myself a White House correspondent for Gen Z," whatever that means. In addition to dancing at home and sharing makeup tips, her TikTok page shows her on vacation or pulling pranks on her family. And clearly Biden has hired the best and the brightest to spread his propaganda. In order to identify the participants, General Z for Change, a nonprofit advocacy group, enlisted the help of content creators. Younger generations were targeted with the information. Quote, "We joined the White House for a briefing on the U.S. strategic goals in Ukraine, so we better be able to debunk misinformation. As a coalition that reaches 500 million people, we're grateful that the White House chooses to work with us to keep the people informed." That's the TikTokers, quote unquote. Jules Turpat, an influencer who participated in the briefing call, posted on Twitter, quote, "TikTok is the media app that many young people click first after unlocking their phones." Yes. Additionally, Aaron Parnas, the son of Rudy Giuliani's indicted former partner Lev Parnas, was on the call. Quote, "I just got off a Zoom call with the White House about the situation in the Ukraine." He's a Gen Z historian, okay? He has about 540,000 followers, writes in a video posted to his social media accounts. Comes as the administration battles a wave of fake news coming out of Moscow, where President Putin is attempting to justify the invasion with false claims about the Ukraine. A majority of the digital creators on the White House briefing gave the same summary. The administration was highlighting its work with allies, the support it's giving to the Ukraine, and its efforts to prevent a wider conflict. Here is my little comment. Which came first? The ships tied up in ports, empty grocery shelves, high gas prices, or the Ukrainian war? Yeah. Did I throw COVID in there? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, COVID is the culprit of just about everything, right? Hey, and by the way, I don't know if you heard or not, but U.S. Today announced the Woman of the Year as one of their choices. Just happened to be the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, Rochelle Levine, who is actually a man. U.S. Today boasted every day across the country, USA's Today's Women of the Year lead and inspire, promote and fight for equity, and give others a place to help and find hope. They are strong and resilient women who have been champions of change and courage, often quietly but with powerful results, and often despite their own challenges. Some of the women may be familiar names. Others may be new to you. Each one has an inspiring and powerful story. Of Levine, USA Today noted, Levine, 64, a trained pediatrician, became the nation's highest-ranking openly transgender official last March, waiting for the fireworks to go off. Transgender official last March when the Senate confirmed her as Assistant Secretary of Health. And Levine told USA Today, "I really feel that everything I've ever done, whether it was academic medicine, education, clinical research, seeing my patients in my role in public health in Pennsylvania, and now my role nationally, has all led to this moment in terms of helping the nation through the greatest public health crisis that we have faced in over 100 years. Thank you for getting on your horse there, Levine, Rachel Levine, biological man, getting on your horse and running in here and saving us all. Yes, okie dokie. Various serious stuff coming up, very serious. Going to be talking to Kimberly Dvorak, and her report today is about the journalists that were killed in the Ukraine. We'll be right back.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills, going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me give you a heads up. Kimberly Dvorak, you spell that last name, D-V-O-R-A-K, and should be streaming live on Facebook. We'll find out in a moment. Kimberly, by the way, is award-winning national security and border security investigative reporter for TV, radio, and the print media. She is senior foreign policy advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, and she has covered the news with an outside-the-beltway perspective. Her experience as an investigative journalist ranges from national security issues like Gitmo Khalid Sheikh Mohammed 9/11 trial, immigration, foreign policy issues, and as a TV correspondent for CW6 News in San Diego, and as well as One America News Network. Her website is the KD Report. Kimberly, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, Chuck?
Pretty good. Are you streaming today?
Yes. I am.
All right. Fantastic. I'm sorry, on Facebook, yes.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, there have already been hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians killed in the Ukraine. Russia troops appearing to have gruesomely now graduated to the acts of genocide in recent days. And if this was not enough, Kimberly here is here today to report on a couple of journalists that have been killed in the Ukraine. They used to sort of be like, you're supposed to be, not one of the targets when you're a journalist.
Well, I mean, they actually wear their press vest. So, the people, when they're fighting against each other here, they know that that's the media and they don't need to shoot and kill these people. But what we're seeing now, and especially through the fog of war here, We don't know. We still don't know if it was the Russians that killed the journalist and injured Benjamin Hall of Fox News and killed his camera guy, or if it was the Russians. We don't know which party actually did that. So, you know, it's, again, we're in the early stages of this, but what we're seeing, the escalation on strikes with the, apartment complexes and places that, most, civilians go, does bring the to a level of genocide. So if Putin is successful and now he's completely encircled Kiev, and if he is able to take Kiev, he's going to be held for war crimes. And there's just no way around it for him. So for him, he's looking at it going, you know what? I know I'm doing these war crime things, so I'm going to fight till I die. And I'm gonna, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it, because he's, at this point, will be tried as a war criminal. So you take that information and you can kind of detect what he's thinking based on that. And that's a pretty scary situation, because, they do have nuclear weapons, as do we do, but that would devastate this planet, basically. So, but right now, we push him back against the wall. And, when people get cornered, they tend to fight back. So I think that we're seeing that this is going to go all the way to Kiev, and it's a terrible, terrible tragedy that did not have to happen.
Well, and this, let me see here. I'm looking for the first name. Pierre, yes, veteran news cameraman, said he was a war zone photographer who covered nearly every international story. Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and then the other was a female, right? There was a female also.
Yeah, 24 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad.
And
she was just taking that lead.
24, you kind of figure like, she's still getting her feet wet, but who knows? She might have started when she was 19. When this first came out, Kimberly, I was thinking about you, and I don't know if you ever went into any war zones. I know you've been to New York many times, but anyway, have you ever had any close calls in all of your reporting?
Yeah, I've had a couple.
Yeah,
when I was a little, I had a couple for sure. When you go into countries that are hostile towards the U.S., or you go into countries, that are on the brink of war, I mean, it's a very dangerous situation, and we're seeing, people, that should not be dying are dying, and, it's completely so spun out of control. If I was the news manager for my people over there, I would say pull back, do not go inside the war zone, because, look, we've already lost a couple of reporters, and we don't want to do this. And, we also have to look to our southern border, which, we're not securing, but the drug cartels are busy, committing genocide themselves, and it's very dangerous to go into Mexico and report, and I've done a lot of reporting inside Mexico.
And whenever you went to Gitmo, there wasn't any problems there, probably, but you never know when you're in another country.
Different about island, and I'm not a very strong swimmer, so
there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll continue more from Kimberly Dvorak in just a moment. The website is thekdreport.com, and she's streaming live on Facebook. We shall return.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
After crash landing in 2022, a time-traveling test pilot from the future, played by Ryan Reynolds, encounters a childhood version of himself, his widowed mother, Jennifer Garner, and his much-loved missing wife, played by Zoe Saldana, in The Adam Project. Now playing in theaters and soon streaming on Netflix.
Laura, this is me.
Hi, parallel contact, babe.
Well, you've always said that you wished you'd met me earlier. Here I am.
Mark Ruffalo and Katherine Keener also contribute to the cast, which delivers a series of unexpectedly touching, even thought-provoking moments, which work much better than the cheesy, unconvincing sci-fi special effects. As a celebration of the complicated bonds between parents and children, The Adam Project works well, with lots of nostalgic echoes of previous blockbusters, like Back to the Future, of course, and even E.T. Rated PG-13, 3 stars for the limited but likable The Adam Project.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy, talking about the journalists killed in the Ukraine. And Pierre, war zone photographer, said they covered nearly every international story for Fox News, from Iraq to Afghanistan to Syria. And then the lady and... Olki Sandra, I think it is, O-L-E-K.
Ukrainian journalist, yeah.
Yeah, 24 years of age. And she had been working with the team for the past month. Wow, doing a brilliant job. Yeah. You know, and when you're covering the news like that, you know, it's not like they don't expect it. You know, things like that can happen. I keep trying to think way, way back about the... great reporter. It seems like he was shot on a bridge, and all he was doing was going over to talk to somebody about, and I cannot remember the name, but wish I
could. You're not talking about Khashoggi, are you?
No, I don't. I think he had an American name, and it raised a lot of, you know, whenever Americans can pronounce the name, it seems like they get better headlines, you know?
Well, yeah, and but you know, we can go back to Daniel Pearl of the an American journalist who was sitting in Gitmo, actually lopped off his head. I mean, that's, you know, so the foreign countries, this is not new to them, and I just think when seeing what's going on over. In the Middle East and all of the troops and all that. And we were fighting against Afghanistan and Taliban, but we weren't fighting against brutal, capable fighters who had a lot of arsenal at their disposal. And we were there for 20-plus years. And what we're seeing here, we're not in war yet with with Russia over the Ukraine situation, but it could be a distinct possibility, especially if they try to throw up a no-fly zone and start sending American jets over there, because then they'll be firing on Russians, and that will spark war. So far, the Biden administration's done a good job of not going into that conflict. Now, the diplomacy aspect of this is just horrible. They're doing a terrible job with that. And, they should have been ready for this, because Putin several months ago said, I'm going in on these dates, and I'm going to take Ukraine back. And he said it repeatedly. And under Biden here, they did nothing about it. They're just like, well, I don't know. He probably doesn't mean it, which is odd, because President Biden was Vice President Biden under the Obama administration back in 2014, when the Russians took 120,000 troops and took Crimea. So they should have taken him very, very seriously, and they should have taken him at his word. Now, we saw, today Zelensky, make a public speech to Congress to try to get them on board with sending these planes. But what Zelensky doesn't understand is if we send our weapons over there, our planes, then we will be targets. Our service members will be targets, and that possibly could strike a war between Russia and U.S., which means they would start bombing stuff over here in the United States. We have not faced that since Pearl Harbor and 9/11. So just think what hand-to-hand combat would look like over here.
And, it's interesting that he brought up, Pearl Harbor. This is what can happen whenever he was doing his speech to Congress as Zelensky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many people out there that don't think this is a shameful act by Vladimir Putin. And they see the Ukrainians trying to fight this. But I think the only thing that ends this, and this is coming from some of my Pentagon sources, Ukraine needs to go out, and then also the NATO alliance is going to have to write a letter, sign it into law, wherever they have to do that, saying Ukraine will never, ever be a part of NATO. And then NATO can come out and say Ukraine can never be a part of NATO. And in Ukraine, they have to put that in their constitution. That's what Putin wants. And then he'll probably pack up his stuff and go. He's going to take those two provinces that are primarily Russian, speaking, and Russians culturally that are over on the east, just two provinces, let them do a referendum vote. And then he'll be fine with that. But the longer that Zelensky does not take action, and the longer that NATO does not take action on this, there's going to be more death and killing of civilians here, and their country is going to have to be rebuilt, and they don't have the money for that. So, there are so many little variables in and around this that, we have to be very cognizant of that. And right now, the diplomacy leading up to this was abysmal, and the Biden administration knew it was coming and decided not to do anything, which, strikes me that they're allowing someone to commit genocide when they could have intervened before it even happened.
Well, and then sending the vice president over there, that probably didn't help our popularity too much.
Like paint by numbers pictures for the kids.
Well, I'll tell you. And talking about unusual things, my first news story today, Kimberly, is that this guy, I'm going to see if I can find his name here, and I probably couldn't pronounce it anyway, Oleg Matveyevich, or something like that. He's a member of the State Duma, all right, in Russia, D-U-M-A.
Yeah.
And he outlined on Russian state television a set of demands for the United States and the Ukraine after Kiev's demilitarization is completed. His demands are saying that we are calling for the United States to give up Alaska, all right? And also, a former Russian settlement, Fort Ross, California. You may have been there because you're a military lady. You know, you like to go where the soldiers are. And it's 90 miles north of San Francisco, Fort Ross, California. And you can laugh at it. You want Alaska back, huh? Sure. Well, you know, it at one time it belonged to you guys, just like the Ukraine at one time belonged to you guys, I guess, right?
Yep.
Who knows? It's a crazy world. And you might just have the right president in there, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, the Biden administration has let this spiral out of control, and it could have all been prevented by simply stating that NATO was not going to allow Ukraine to be a part of it, and or Ukraine, and we will never do it, and put it into their constitutional constitution so they could follow through on it, and they'd have precedent with law over there. But, I mean, the president of this country had no wherewithal to put people in place to negotiate what was going to happen there in Ukraine before they literally crossed the borders and started killing people. Putin, this for him, this is his last hurrah, let's face it. He's like 78 years old or so. This is his last hurrah. He has very little to lose, and those are always deadly adversaries to fight, because they have nothing to lose. And he certainly, if he survives this, you better believe that at some point he'll be taken to The Hague and he'll be charged with war crimes. And he'll, you know, spend some time down in, you know, the jails with the Medvedev, you know, the guy that caused the whole Bosnia war, you know, committed war crimes. And, you know, he's in jail. So, I mean, there's no getting out of that situation. But Putin knows that. He's a smart guy. He might be going a little crazy at this age. But, you know, there's no way that he can beat anyone unless he brings in China as an ally. And then we have some real issues if that's happening. And as you know, the Biden administration and Obama, they were busy trying to hook up, China and Russia together. And that's just a huge disaster waiting to happen, because then you have, you know, a lot of the military, you know, weapons you need would come from China. They haven't been tested in any kind of war situation. And you know, a friend of mine, Colonel McGregor, who actually is in the military, he just said that, you know, what they've gotten from satellites, and they've seen that they are untested and they could be easily beaten if they had to. However, they do have weapons. They can ship that over to Russia, and Russian fighters are a little more together and would do that. And, you know, go ahead.
I've got a guest that comes on occasionally and talking about China. You know, their Navy has already surpassed the United States Navy, you know, and they've got new carriers that just, you know, makes ours look like little tugboats. Of course not. I'm exaggerating there, but they've been building it up. And then when you see the pictures, you know, of the high step marching, sort of like, you know, they did in Germany, you know, they've got some very big armies and a lot of stuff, and they've got stuff spread all over the country that you don't know what it is. It's I just don't think that China is just sitting on their rear ends doing nothing. I'll put it that way when it comes to military interventions and what they could do.
They've stolen all our intelligence IP. They can't. I mean, they didn't have the wherewithal to make these things, but they buy a ship or they go over and have somebody in bed and work for a company over in America, and you know, then there you have it. Now they have all this technology, and they didn't have to have the, you know, high cost of inventing, you know, some of this stuff. And the last thing that you know, China got their hands on is America's. When we went in and got Osama bin Laden, one of the stealth helicopters, which nobody had seen at that point, crashed into the complex, and they tried to blow it up, and they missed a whole bunch of stuff. And so the first call in Pakistan was to China, and they came over and grabbed that. So now they're, you know, they have that high quality weaponry, and you know, but I think the fears from a lot of people in the military is that that will be the next thing that will drop. They will see these high-tech weapons going to Russia. Again, I mean, there's suffering. There's immense suffering. And for the past couple of days, all we've heard about are we've got to, you know, we have to ban all Russian oil. We have to ban Russian products coming to this country, which is fine. I mean, we have oil here, and we could get it out the ground, or we could frack. But, you know, they're asking this of Germany and all of Europe, and they don't have the capacity to, you know, get oil out of the ground. So this morning, a German friend reached out and basically said that, you know, Germany could not do a boycott of that. In fact, it would hurt Germany more than it would Russia, and it would drive energy costs up over the, you know, out of the roof, and it would result in mass unemployment and massive poverty. So why are we, you know, trying to get Germany and Italy and all of our allies there in Europe to, like, give up Russian oil? There isn't any other way. That's where they get their heating, their air conditioning. It's ludicrous when people don't actually sit down, look at the numbers, and see what they could do. And if this administration had sat down 2 months before this and tried to figure it out, war game it out, if you will, like, what would happen to Europe if they didn't have the oil and the gas that they need? Because they can't get it out of their country. So if they would have war gamed this in that way, how can we avoid war in this region? So until we can, you know, get our supplies up here and then become the net export country that we were under President Trump. That's what should have happened. And I don't blame Germany for saying that, because, you know, who wants, you know, your half of your population to be living in poverty, or you can't get enough, you know, food on your table? Why would we ask that of those countries? And who was the people that were in these diplomatic meetings? What were they talking about? I'd love to see some of the transcripts of what they were talking about, because there was a way out of this before it started. And like I said just a little bit earlier, right now Putin's back in the corner, and there's no going back for him. There is no going back. So right now it's a wait and see, and try to figure out if NATO's willing to make that concession, and wait and see if Ukrainians are willing to make that movement and getting themselves off the radar doing NATO.
On the waiting list also, is China going to all of a sudden say, we'll help you, Putin?
And then also China kind of would like Taiwan. So if they are looking around at what we're doing over here, and, you know, they're just, you know, they're like, no, oh, well, they're not going to do that. Okay, good. That means we can go in and take Taiwan. So this is what our enemies think of President Joe Biden. They didn't do that under President Trump. He was, you know, obviously he tweeted too much. That was a bothersome thing for me. But he didn't start any new wars, and he didn't support any wars. So for 4 years, that's the way our country was about.
So you're saying there was no Russia collusion, huh, with Trump?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? You know what, and I'll tell you something. Breaking news last night, I heard it on Tucker Carlson, and the fact that China has announced that they're going to start buying all their oil from Saudi Arabia, and the big kicker, Kimberly, and I'll have to get into this with you after the break too, but is the fact that they said, and we're not going to be paying with the dollar to get all that oil. I think the word was Bitcoin or whatever. Anyway, they're going to use not the American dollar. And Tucker Carlson was saying, you know, that money, even whenever other companies are buying it, because we have such an interest in the Saudi Arabia oil, is that that money actually goes most of it into, not most of it, but a percentage of it into the United States. And we're going to be losing a lot of money when China starts buying that, not using the American dollar. I mean, wow, seems like all kinds of things are happening. Well, I'll tell you what's happening right now is a world-famous break, and we'll be back with Kimberly Dvorak. Remember her website. It's thekdreport.com. That's thekdreport.com. Kimberly Dvorak. Be right back.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Yes, dreams really do come true. Exhibit A, the L.A. Rams. And you, Pilgrim, are Exhibit A+. Look what you've accomplished during these hectic times. And now it's time for your just reward for a job well done. Come celebrate as the champion you are at Columbo's with a juicy, melt-in-your-mouth-watering steak. Neptune's gift from the seven seas. Columbo's Family Italian Recipes, the world's greatest meatballs, service that's second to none, and all at a down-to-earth bill of fare. Columbo's is the inflation-fighting champion. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man Pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man Pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man Pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Kimberly Dvorak, the KD Report, and she is Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. And Kimberly, I got it right here. China is aggressively pushing to dethrone the dollar as the global reserve currency, and the latest development suggests the petrodollar is now being threatened. And it says... let me see here if I can get it real quick here. All of this would support the standing of the U.S. as the world's undisputed financial superpower because it will no longer be the dollar, it'll be the yang. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's going to have...
Yeah, well, and that's... The Chinese are looking at that measure, and they're seeing how the United States always seems to jump to sanctioning other countries when they do something that we're not approving of. And, you know, and obviously China pays more for their, you know, their energy because it's all in U.S. dollar instead of, you know, the Chinese money. And when you look at that, if we lose the reserve currency in this country, the cost of everything in this country will increase by, you know, it will skyrocket, which will do what Germany was saying, that if they were to, like, not collect, you know, energy from Russia, it would devastate their economy. They'd have unbelievably high unemployment rates and plunge their country into poverty. So now you've got China watching, you know, the Biden administration just flounder now that we're into this for three weeks, the third week here. And they're going, yeah, why not? Let's do that. And sadly, you know, the majority of the countries won't do that. And at least with America, it's pretty stable. We have an economy that grows and people can count on us, or at least they did before, Biden became president. But they could, they could rely on Americans.
Well, I got to tell you, with this oil thing, Kimberly, and I just saw this rest of this other thing here, boy, I think Biden's got some explaining to do. It says the Saudis are angry over the U.S. lack of support for their intervention in the Yemen civil war and over the Biden administration's attempt to strike a deal with Iran over its nuclear program. And then here, Saudi officials have said they were shocked by the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan last year and the way it was done. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Biden, you better get some TikTokers and start rewriting some more stuff.
Yeah. And I think what people, when you look at other countries in the Middle East and around the globe, what we did in allowing Syria to be completely attacked and decimate that country, and it's still plunged in civil war, and they're trying to regime change, it hasn't worked for us. We did that in Libya, and it didn't work out. I mean, we start doing this in all these different countries. The people hate us for that. If it's American bombs dropping on them, they hate America. This, sadly, I know a lot of people, don't like the same, but what we're doing is creating more terrorists. Because if you're a small child and you're sitting over in Iraq or Afghanistan, and you hear night after night those drones circling your house, and you know that last week you lost your best friend because they blew up his house, that creates that fear. And, you take that and get a little bit older, and as you get older, you're like, I hate those Americans. They ruined my childhood. And so that's what, we have to kind of contend with here. And we have to do this responsibly. We don't want, Ukraine to be another situation where, you've got a Syria. Yeah. In Syria, that was basically a Western economy. They traded with the United States. They sent a lot of people to get educated. Well, they had McDonald's home, and they didn't kill all the...
I'll tell you, we had a full glass today. I appreciate it very much, Kimberly. Wow, covered a lot. Kimberly Dvorak, and it's The KD Report, REPORT, The KD Report. Thank you. Look forward to our next visit. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Swayed at the Network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see when next we meet. Oh, yeah, of course. Frank Savato with his latest and Joe Gazzardi with his latest. And Joe's going to be doing his baseball report also, and it has something to do with St. Patrick's Day and baseball. And things like that are always interesting. Right now, I want to tell you about my world-famous guest, Selwyn Duke. He's writer for The New American. And Selwyn also has contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And, of course, you can find Selwyn everywhere. He's always appearing somewhere on television, frequent guest on many radio shows. His website is theselwynduke.com. That's selwynduke.com. And now it's time for, Duke of Selwyn. He's the best. Oh, hey, Selwyn Duke, how are you?
Hey, you did it that time. What happened to
the
song?
Well, because we had a computer problem. We had a computer problem, and we said, do we have any standbys? And I said, yep, we sure do. And here I are, yes.
Well, Chuck, that you've got that nice resonant voice.
It is. It's been in this resident for many years now, yes. And there you go. Yeah. Hey, it's a strange thing, I'll just tell you. Normally, I remember when I first got into radio, they said that there was an FCC regulation that you weren't allowed to give out private messages over the air. Did you ever hear that?
No, I didn't. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, you know, back in the 30s. No, not that far. Anyway, so I'm going to tell you right now that, you know, I got your latest report, and I kept trying to, you know, tell you, you know, yeah, I got your latest one that you wrote, and it kept bouncing back. Sorry, we're unable to deliver this content.
Huh.
I think maybe you got it at the last one. I'm not sure, but it was very strange. I thought, boy, are they censoring me now because you mentioned what was it? Brown power. Yes. Brown power. This is an interesting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the title, ladies and germs. Brown power report. White school kids assaulted as slavery. Revenge, little school kids, huh? We'll get to the whole age here in just a moment, but no, I'm going to tell you right now, they were like 12, I think, 12, 13, 14 years old. My goodness, what's going on here? The next thing you know, the woman of the year will be a man. Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. We couldn't imagine that happening, right?
Never. Never, ever.
But this
what
story
is the story
is
about this
Chuck,
one, huh?
Because... Yeah, we all know about Jussie Smollett. He was just sentenced. He was that race hoaxer, perpetrated that fake hate crime in Chicago, and he's gotten a lot of attention. But this is not a story that's going to get that much attention, even though the story these kids tell is actually plausible, unlike Mr. Smollett's, as some people call him, you know. Anyway, that comedian called him that, Jussie Smollett. That was who? Dave Chappelle, right? Dave Chappelle, yeah. Anyway. The case
but let's,
here, Chuck,
hey, before you go any further, now that you mentioned Smollett, remember that he's in, what was it he was hollering, that he thought they were going to kill him, they're going to kill me. I'm not going to commit suicide.
Suicidal.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I'm not suicidal.
I'm not suicidal.
So we'll see.
Yeah, boy, he is a real narcissist. He is a real narcissist.
Somebody said
I mean, he's
that,
got his story and sticking to it.
Yeah, and somebody said, I'll just tell you real quick, that... he was hollering that, I'm not suicidal, I'm not suicidal. And this guy said, I can't think of who it is right now, but anyway, that he thinks that he's actually going to set up a phony thing where somebody tries to hang him in jail, and he's already got it worked out where it's going to look like they're trying to kill him.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I heard he was under suicide watch, but don't quote me on that. I don't know if that's absolutely true. But they should monitor him just to make sure he doesn't perpetrate anything like that and cause any more trouble.
They should monitor
me so that
I would stop interfering with a guest. So go ahead. got it.
No, your additions are always welcome, Chuck. Anyway, or contributions, I should say. Anyway, this case concerns four white middle school students, Chuck, and they say they were the victims of a slavery revenge attack. This was last Wednesday morning, okay? Now, the victims have not been identified because they're very young, but one of them said he no longer feels safe attending his school. They're students at Lions Creek Middle School. That's in Broward County, Florida. Okay, anyway, they were assaulted by five boys, these kids say. And these kids said it was revenge for what they did in the 1700s, slavery. That's the way this kid put it. And the assailants were made up of a group of three black and two white students, actually. And they reportedly yelled, Chuck, quote, it's opposite day. Opposite day. Brown power. And we understand that they whipped, kicked, and hit the four white kids. So anyway, the five attackers, they're aged between 12 and 15, and they were actually arrested, and they have been charged with battery and a hate crime. Okay, we don't always hear that when it's a sort of black-on-white crime, but in this case, yes, so far there are hate crime charges, we understand, that have been brought. Now, remember, these assailants yelled, Chuck, that it's opposite day. So as I wrote in my article, I was being very newsy here, by the way, just hard news. Whether opposite day activities included subsequent affirmative action and quotas for the white students was not reported. No, not reported at all. But anyway, so the Coconut Creek police, this happened at a Coconut Creek recreational center, said the victims were racially profiled, Chuck. The group looked at the student, I'm quoting here now NBC, the group looked at the student and stated he is white before another student tackled him to the ground, which subsequently allowed the group of middle school kids to start hitting him with their hands, feet, and phone chargers, the report said. And one student said, quote, attackers hit and kicked him and yelled things that made him believe that he was being targeted because he's white, NBC also tells us. And so this one kid said, I put my hands up so they don't whack my face. After they jumped me, they said, this is like revenge for what they did in the 1700s, slavery. So anyway,
and let me ask you real quick, whenever they mention 1700s, wasn't that a course they were teaching in school there for a while called the 1700s, slavery, the whole thing? It seems like they were actually using that number, and they had to stop doing it.
No, they were using, what was it? I forget the date now. It was the 1691 project. I don't know if it was 1691. I'm having a brain cramp here. Yeah. But
you're
that's
right.
what it's called, and that's not history. That's revisionist history. It's just ridiculous,
right.
But it was disgorged by someone with the New York Times, and it's been glommed onto by all sorts of school systems, peddling fiction to the kids. It really is mind molestation. That's what that is. So anyway, these five students, Chuck, were arrested, I'm quoting National File now, and charged with battery and evidence of prejudice while committing battery, which is a third-degree felony. Now, anyway, one of the mothers of one of the attackers says, or one of the mothers of an attacker says, she's angry at the victims. She's angry at them because she claims they're trying to ruin her son's life by having him prosecuted. Now, let me just say, Chuck, because, I don't want to exaggerate things here. We have to be fair. This attack was very much within, as I put it in my article, the norms of typical, quote-unquote, boyish mischief. Now, you might say, well, how could you possibly say that, Duke? Well, the violence only occurred for a few seconds. It was very mild. There were no serious injuries. I think it was sort of, you might say, very much like a normal bullying incident. The problem is that it had this racial angle. And, of course, if the races were reversed, they would be making a federal case out of this. It would be on the front page everywhere. The mainstream media would never stop banging that drum. But as I point out in my article, in fairness to the attackers, the kids do stupid things sometimes. Kids do that. And I point out in my article, the good example were these kick a ginger day attacks that sometimes would occur in school a while back. A ginger meaning a red-haired kid.
Kick a ginger.
But there is a deeper
issue. I've never heard that, Kick a ginger.
Yeah, I don't know
like that. But
if that
I'd dye my hair if I was red-headed, that's for
like
sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's a deeper issue here, though. And the deeper issue is not the kids. Again, these are pretty young kids. Kids do stupid things. We understand that. But here's the deeper issue. And I introduced this with a story that surprised even me. Last year, I was at a friend's house, Chuck, and their granddaughter was there. She was 11 years old, okay? And she mentioned that, or they mentioned it, they did, her grandparents, that in school, she was asked by other kids whether she was a Democrat or a Republican. That's sometimes something that they're sometimes asking now. Now, again, these kids are 11 years old. Now, this really struck me and surprised even me, Chuck, because back when I was that age, it never would have occurred to us to ask something like that, never would have entered our minds. I mean, kids, of course, don't have an official party affiliation. We know that. But we would never play adult in that fashion. I mean, I remember in kindergarten, we pretended to be married. Oh, yeah, I married Natalie, whatever. But Republican and Democrat, no. And what this reflects, though, Chuck, is how unbelievably politicized kids have been today, and more to the point here, how ideologized they've been, like never before in the United States, just inculcated with ideology and a very bizarre, destructive ideology in many, many cases. Because remember, when we're talking about the bullying in question here, Chuck, these Florida middle school students did not come up with this on their own, like kids might do if they're bullying other kids who are overweight or, let's say, who are wearing glasses. No, they didn't come up with the slavery angle on their own. They were indoctrinated by adults in school and also to some extent via entertainment and the media with anti-white, critical race theory-oriented propaganda. That's where this comes from, okay? Now, how is all this propaganda justified? Well, we'll hear that we have to teach children about slavery, right? And the idea behind that, Chuck, might be that if we forget the mistakes of the past, we're damned to repeat them, right? Now, ostensibly, that's the motive. But here's the thing. Even if we take that at face value, Chuck, educators today don't teach about slavery. No, they don't. Rather, they teach about only a small snapshot of slavery. Okay, that's slavery that occurred in the United States for a few hundred years. They don't teach the whole history of slavery, and what this results in is a skewed conception of history and a skewed conception of our past mistakes' causes. Okay, and the truth is, as you know, Chuck, and I know a break is not too far off, but slavery was once ubiquitous throughout the world. It was practiced anywhere and everywhere. It's one of the oldest institutions on earth, with us since time immemorial. So in other words, early Americans, our ancestors, didn't originate it. They inherited it, okay? And it was something that, for most of history, was an unquestioned institution, like I said, and it transcended race, okay? It wasn't just white people in this country, even if you just look at American slavery, enslaving Africans. Africans enslaved other Africans in Africa, and also they sometimes sold them to others, including Europeans. That's how African slaves got to this continent. And not only that, and I'm quoting here Thomas Sowell, an estimated one-third of the free persons of color in New Orleans were slave owners, and thousands of these slave owners volunteered to fight for the Confederacy during the Civil War. And he also wrote black slave owners were even more common in the Caribbean.
All right.
And I don't know if we're coming up on a break.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. It's perfect timing there, Selwyn. You are the pros. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And we're going to continue with more on this story. Brown Power Report, white school kids assaulted as slavery revenge. Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines. And you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with the one and only Selwyn Duke, New American. Website is selwynduke.com, and reporting about these white school kids assaulted at Slavery Revenge. And we continue here and talking about the Caribbean and Thomas Sowell, and boy, and then you get to another name that sticks out like a sore thumb, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were just putting slavery in perspective, Chuck, pointing out that it's one of the world's oldest institutions. The United States did not create or invent slavery. We inherited it. And I was quoting Thomas Sowell as pointing out, among other things, that black slave owners were even more common in the Caribbean than they were in the United States. And we had plenty in the United States. But do you know who one of those Caribbean black slave owners was? Well, an ancestor of Kamala Harris. And by the way, you know who that information comes from? Her father, Professor Donald Harris. So it's not something that comes from some opposition individual. And it's so funny because, of course, that didn't stop Kamala Harris from playing the race card during the presidential debates in 2020, right, when she was basically calling, or I think that was early 2020. Yeah, she was calling Joe Biden a racist. But anyway, we're getting off track. Yeah. Not only that, continuing to put slavery in perspective, there were thousands, in fact, the number I heard, Chuck, was 3,000 American Indians who owned slaves in this country. Okay? As far as whites went in antebellum times, only a very small percentage of them owned slaves. I think the number was maybe 15%, but that's it. So what that means is most of us in the country today are not descended from slave owners. So, by the way, as I point out in my article, this raises a certain question. Who then should be paying reparations to whom? We should ask that question to of anyone who's proposing reparations, which, of course, is an absolutely ridiculous idea. But anyway, here's the bottom line. Now, that puts slavery in perspective. Get to the money line now. It was only European civilization that finally started to put an end to slavery where it could, in its own lands. So putting it very simply, well, whites may or may not have been the first to practice slavery, Chuck, but here's a startling fact of history if you want to break it down racially. Whites surely were the first to eliminate it. That's the bottom line. And maybe if these middle school kids were taught the truth, right, they wouldn't be so angry and they would get along. Instead, we're trying to instill them with ancient hatreds. It's unbelievable. But let's get to now, Chuck, what should be taught in history, because that's the even deeper issue. You know, again, I mentioned before the break that the thinking behind teaching kids about these things is, well, you know, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past and they have to know about what went wrong. We've missed the purpose of teaching history, okay? We've lost the narrative. We've perverted the whole thing. The goal of teaching young children history is very simple. You want to give kids a basic understanding of the world, of how their country was created, and you want to instill in them a common historical understanding that will unite them with their countrymen and that will also engender in them national pride. That is the purpose of teaching young children history, okay? You can't possibly teach them all these little nuances that some pseudo-educators claim are necessary to inculcate them with because, for one thing, the kids are not going to be able to assimilate that much information. They're too young to understand many deeper concepts. And the kicker is, Chuck, many of these educators don't even have the insight to teach this nuance properly. Okay, and here's a very good example. This comes from Thomas Sowell. He mentioned this a long time ago, that there was this school exercise where children were asked to write how they would feel if they were an American Indian whose land was seized by European settlers. okay? But as Sowell pointed out correctly, Chuck, there was no way that kids could possibly understand how American Indians back then felt, and this was for a very simple reason. Back then, taking land by conquest was status quo. No one questioned it. The Europeans did it, the American Indians did it, Africans did it, South Americans did it, Asians did it. For the longest time, it was might made right. If you could win a battle, then you had a right to dominate. That was it. You had a right to take slaves. In fact, I just want to mention this. I've heard this said that many, many years ago, maybe in the Caribbean, in Africa, other places, the idea was when they took prisoners in battle, they would enslave them, and they thought they were doing them a favor because the idea was, okay, well, by all rights, you should be dead. We defeated you in battle, but we didn't kill you. We're giving you your life, so you owe us your life, so you have to work for us. I'm not saying it's the correct way to look at things. I'm just saying that was the attitude that often prevailed.
All right. Another excellent one from Selwyn Duke, and we've got more coming up. Selwyn Duke. .com. That's SELWYNDUKE.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Bill Murray and Owen Wilson are part of an all-star cast in a group of loosely connected stories concerning a fictional magazine based in the non-existent city of Ennui, France. It's the latest from cult filmmaker Wes Anderson, The French Dispatch, streaming on HBO Max.
You don't think it's almost too seedy this time?
No, I don't.
It's supposed to be charming.
You try to make it sound like you wrote it that way on purpose.
And it's hard to tell what purpose could possibly have motivated this stylish, occasionally witty, but thoroughly frustrating film with no real plot, a collection of caricatures rather than characters, and a general approach that could best be described as incoherent indulgence. Award-winning actors are wasted, as is a fine film score by Alexandre Desplat. But by its conclusion, you're reminded that the name of the fictional city, Ennui, actually means boredom. It's rated a serious R for considerable nudity, sex references, and satirical violence. 1.5 stars for the sure-to-be-overrated The French Dispatch.
Joe Biden's Afghanistan withdrawal has changed America, not because of the Taliban or outside powers or even because America's leaders are making mistakes. Afghanistan changed America because America's leaders want to change America. America's string of disasters come from leaders who want a disaster for the American power.
But the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos, I don't know how that happens.
They want to fundamentally transform the United States.
We have an incredible opportunity to fundamentally transform the country.
The Bible forecasted that they want to blot out the United States of America. How? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk. You name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, crntalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk, facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, website selwynduke.com. Moving on to another story, New York Times and Obama peddled the mother of all deceptions. Wow. And they were probably peddling fast, too. Wasn't that right, Selwyn?
Oh, really fast, really fast. And let me say, Chuck, this is a very, very important story. It's not the kind of thing you're going to hear much about elsewhere because Ukraine is sucking up all the oxygen. But, Chuck, I have to say, I've seen many examples of media propaganda in my time. You have, too. But I can't think of a more egregious example than this. I don't know about you, if you agree with that assessment, but this is absolutely unbelievable. This takes the cake. So let's get into it. Now, the New York Times, as a lot of people know, is no stranger to fiction. Back in the 1930s, it had this Moscow correspondent. His name was Walter Duranty. Well, he's sort of a notorious character now. What was he doing? Well, back then, he was outright lying, just lying about how Joseph Stalin was intentionally starving millions of Ukrainians. Okay, according to him, that wasn't happening, that starvation of the Ukrainians, which killed about 4 million of them. Now, what happened to Duranty? Did he lose his job? Was he punished in some way? No, actually, he won a Pulitzer Prize, and that prize has never been rescinded. So what a world, huh? Even in the 1930s. But more recently, Chuck, the Times has peddled another deception. Now, it doesn't involve something such as genocide, but it's equally brazen, okay? And this concerns this Trayvon Martin video tribute that the Times created. It was on February 26th that it was issued, and ex-President Barack Obama contributed heavily to it, and he publicized it too. And let me tell you something, Chuck, this video tribute turns truth on its head as much as Walter Duranty ever could. Okay, so let's get into it. This video tribute opens with this left-wing professor, Henry Louis Gates Jr. Now, some people might remember him. He's the guy who had that run-in with the Cambridge police years ago when Obama was in office. The police weren't doing anything wrong, but Obama weighed in nonetheless, as he often did, idiotically, and he said the police acted stupidly. But anyway, it opens with this Henry Louis Gates, and he said, quote, "The contemporary civil rights movement unfolded directly in response to the murder of Trayvon Martin." Okay? Then right after that, you see on the screen the label opinion flash. Okay. Now, you can call that opinion if you want to, but as I point out in my article, opinion is not supposed to encompass things that we know are objectively untrue. In other words, it's not supposed to include lies. And the truth is that George Zimmerman, the man who shot Trayvon Martin, was rightfully acquitted of murder because he didn't commit murder. He was acting in self-defense. And this means, by Gates' own admission, the contemporary civil rights movement is built on a lie. But we're going to get to the particulars of the Trayvon Martin case in just a moment. Okay, now also in the video, Chuck, Barack Obama was there, like I said, heavily featured, and he expressed his anger, quote, "At the idea that this teenager who was walking down the street could be considered so threatening that a private citizen could initiate a confrontation resulting in that teenager's death." Okay, now, it may shock some listeners to hear that old Barry there was telling a lie. probably not the first time he's done so, but he was telling a lie. Because Trayvon wasn't just walking down the street innocently. Now, here I'm going to quote Jack Cashel, who often writes at American Thinker. No one knows more about the Martin situation than he does. He wrote a book about it. He's written numerous articles about it. He edited a movie and a book about it. But anyway, Cashel writes, No, Trayvon wasn't just walking down the street. He was lurking in the shadows on a rainy night in a housing development plagued with break-ins and home invasions by young black men. And Zimmerman did not initiate the confrontation. No, he didn't, and we're going to get to more about that later. Okay, but this gets even more shocking, this video tribute by the New York Slimes, okay? They played in the video, Chuck, a version of Zimmerman's, George Zimmerman's 911 call. When he saw Trayvon Martin, he was alarmed. He called the police, which is what you're supposed to do. Here's the version of the call they played. Quote, you can hear Zimmerman saying this in the video. Hey, we've had some break-ins in my neighborhood, and there's a real suspicious guy. This guy looks like he's up to no good or he's on drugs or something. He looks black. That's what the Times played. Okay, now, if you're young or you don't know anything about this story, you're new to it, you might think, well, that's what Zimmerman said. But that's not what he said. That's a doctored version of the 911 call, Chuck. In fact, it's not just a doctored version. It's very much like a doctored version that NBC peddled back at the time. And NBC was sued by Zimmerman for doing so. And here's the thing, though. The Times ought to have known that, too, because it covered the NBC deception, Chuck. It actually covered it. And here is what the Times wrote at the time about this. Quote, NBC News has fired a producer who was involved in the production of a misleading segment about the Trayvon Martin case in Florida. The action came in the wake of an internal investigation by NBC News into the production of the segment, which strung together audio clips in such a way that made George Zimmerman's shooting of Mr. Martin sound racially motivated. The segment in question was shown on the Today Show on March 27th. It included audio of Mr. Zimmerman saying, "This guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black." But Mr. Zimmerman's comments had been taken grossly out of context by NBC, and now also, Chuck, by the New York Times, apparently. But I'll continue quoting the Times. On the phone with a 911 dispatcher, he actually said of Mr. Martin, "This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around, looking about." Then the dispatcher asked, "Okay, and this guy, is he white, black, or Hispanic?" Only then did Mr. Zimmerman say, "He looks black." That's what actually happened. The Times should have known it. And what the Times was really tacitly condemning NBC for back then, it's guilty of that very thing today, Chuck. So, in fact, as I ask in my article, given this, here's a question. Who will now be fired at the Times for what got that NBC producer fired? Huh? Okay. Now, you might think, well, that's it. There couldn't possibly be any more deception packed into a short video. No, you'd be wrong. There's still more. There was more deceitful editing, Chuck. The Times also played, almost anyway, Zimmerman's following exchange with the 911 dispatcher. Now, the dispatcher asked, "Are you following him?" George Zimmerman, "Yeah." The dispatcher, "Okay, we don't need you to do that." Then Zimmerman said, "Okay." The Times, however, edited out the okay. The okay wasn't there. Now, why would they do that? Because they wanted to advance the fiction, Chuck, that Zimmerman was stalking Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. In fact, what happened, though, was Zimmerman complied with the dispatcher. He didn't follow Trayvon Martin anymore. He headed for a certain address where he was supposed to meet the police. Okay? Let's move on, though. There's more. Under an article, or in an article, I'm sorry, associated with the Times video, Times journalist Charles Blow brazenly equated Martin's death with the 1955 murder of Emmett Till, which truly was an unjust, terrible act. And Charles Blow wrote, among other things, "Martin was just 17 years old, a boy, and he was where he was supposed to be. He was unarmed. He was carrying Skittles and a can of iced tea." But actually, that's not the story. And I'm going to quote Jack Cashel again. Cashel said, no, Trayvon was not where he was supposed to be. He had been exiled to the townhome of his father's new girlfriend in Sanford, Florida, after being suspended from school for the third time that school year and kicked out of his mother's home. Having been caught with stolen jewelry and burglary tools, Trayvon avoided arrest under the same misguided policy that allowed Nicholas Cruz free to kill 17 of his Parkland High School classmates a few years later. Okay, so Trayvon Martin was a criminal. He was a very troubled kid. That is a fact of the case. It's not disputable. Okay, so Cashel then states that George Zimmerman was absolutely correct in his assessment of Martin. Martin was high, and he was bent on wrongdoing. He'd gone to 7-Eleven not for some childlike snack, but to get blunts and the ingredients for a drug concoction that they call purpleine, that I'm not acquainted with, but that's what they call it. Okay? All right. But anyway, can't possibly be any more deception from the Times. That's got to be it for this story. Right, Chuck? No, there's still more. Okay? The Times wasn't done playing up this innocent little child angle. And get this. In its video, Chuck, it actually used a picture of Trayvon Martin from when he was a cute young little boy. Okay? But that's not the Martin who attacked George Zimmerman. That Martin in 2012 was, according to Cashel, a half a foot taller than Zimmerman, and he was an aspiring mixed martial artist. Not only that, okay, because Barack Obama said that Zimmerman initiated this confrontation. Here's what actually happened. Trayvon Martin had 4 minutes, 4 minutes to go 100 yards to the townhome where he was staying if he was so worried about the presence of Zimmerman, who was a neighborhood watchman. But he didn't do that. Instead, he played the predator. He circled around to where Zimmerman was waiting for the cops, and he sucker punched him. That's what he did. Then he was on top of Zimmerman, mixed martial arts style, raining down blows feverishly. Now, how do we know that? We know that because a witness for the prosecution, not the defense, his name was Jonathan Good, testified that that's what he saw, that he saw Martin pummeling Zimmerman with blows, MMA style. Okay, and according to Cashel, this continued for about 40 seconds. Now, I'll add here, Chuck, remember, we've read cases over the years of men dying from one blow. They're hit the wrong way, or they fall down and their head hits the pavement, and they actually die. Okay? But it was only after Zimmerman was being pummeled for 40 seconds that he finally shot Trayvon Martin. And that's why he was acquitted. Because in that case, this was proportionate force. He had good reason to believe his life was in jeopardy because this strong, trained in fighting young man was confronting him with this unrelenting attack. Wouldn't stop. They say you don't kick a man when he's down. I mean, Martin was doing more than that. When was he going to stop hitting him? When the guy was dead? Okay, but there's one more deception that the Times worked into this video. Okay, the Times said that Zimmerman was acquitted, did say that, by an all-white jury. Now, in reality, though, that was not the case, because one juror, according to Cashel, was, quote, an Afro-Puerto Rican. Okay, but that's really the least of the Times' trespasses here. Now, here's what happened afterwards. Jack Cashel confronted the Times, contacted them, and asked them about all these errors, what they were going to do. Okay, well, what did the Times do? It did issue an error about calling the jury all white, and that note was put after the video, after the credits. So we don't know how many people are ever going to see it. There was a little correction about that error. But the Times didn't address anything else. The paper's executive producer of opinion video, his name is Adam Ellick, he just sloughed off all the other concerns. Here's what he said. He actually said, Chuck, the piece was, quote, opinion analysis of an event that has already, quote, been covered extensively. So in other words, that justifies all the deception. And now what about that doctored 911 call? Well, Ellick said about that, that it was done to conserve on time. Wow. And if you believe that, well, I have some swampland in Florida to sell you. So just horrible, Chuck. I don't know. What do you think? Have you ever seen a more egregious example of media propaganda and malpractice than this?
No.
Am I wrong?
I'll tell you, and whenever this event happened, because, you know, I was on the air and all the, you know, still doing newscasts and whatever came up.
Yeah.
And when you edit something like that, you know, it wasn't, you know, what color was he? And they give him three choices, and the guy decides, let's make it just like he said, black. You know, and I said, wow. You know, in my career, you know, I've had to edit a lot of things in the old days, you know, and you'd do reruns and you'd take things out, you know, and stuff like that. And you could even edit things, you know, to do it as a joke. But, I mean, this is serious stuff. And me personally, Selwyn, and I wasn't prejudiced about Obama, but I'll tell you, when, you know, when things like this happen and then he wanted to get in, you know, and not care what really needed to be said, I was a little upset about that, too.
It is disgusting. And, you know, when you edit things, look, we all sometimes omit things for the purposes of space, conserving on space. But when you do that, you're not supposed to change the meaning of what you're quoting. And Christopher Hitchens, who's gone now, but he was a Democrat, by the way, he addressed this when he was attacking Michael Moore. He said anyone who does that, anyone who omits things for the purposes of changing the meaning of what was said, quote, is to be despised. And he's correct. There's nothing more despicable than that. This was pure, unadulterated propaganda by the Times designed to inflame racial tensions and push a destructive lie-based narrative. The Times should be ashamed of itself, but it won't be. It's not the paper of record. It's the paper of a broken, destructive record. That's what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was working with George Putnam, there were two occasions where CBS 60 Minutes came in, right? And they would edit out so much stuff. And some of it you would say, yeah, they should have done that anyway, you know, but, you know, for the benefit of time. But then there would be little things you'd say, well, why didn't they really quote this person that really was the guy that kind of hammered it down, you know? And, nope, it wasn't there. And then I said, I'm going to stop watching them. So I occasionally do now, just occasionally. And occasionally we take breaks, and boy, I'm telling you, talk about perfect timing on that one, Selwyn. Perfect, perfect.
Yep. Nailed it.
Perfect, perfect. No, take that out. You said it twice. Oh, okay, perfect, perfect. Now you've said it three times. You edit that, will you please, there, Suede? Thank you. We'll be right back.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. His website, selwynduke.com. And the New York Times and Obama peddle the mother of all deceptions. You can find that at his website. You know, Selwyn, I want to tell you an interesting story. And I'm not going to mention the radio station, all right? Because people who are still alive, you know, that anyway, you know how that goes. But we'll assume the radio station was the call letters were A, B, C, D, right? there was a guy that actually worked there, and, you know, we didn't have an engineer that, you know, pushed all the buttons. You'd, pardon me, you'd do it yourself when it was time to play the radio jingle. And he actually went in and spliced and changed the call letter, switched two of the call letters on it. So instead of A, B, C, D, it would be like, A, B, D, C, you know, and nobody ever noticed. But he told me the story, and I said, my God, and I even know which one it was. And it's amazing. But, you know, I mean, that's nothing as bad as this. I mean, boy, this is like, you know, who started World War III? It was that guy right over there, and so then he's the one that got killed, you know, and he had nothing to do with it. He was just telling you the truth, you know. Amazing. Now, I want to ask you real quick, because, you know, very little time here. You had a Fossey video right before this article about the New York Times, and I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I know you didn't do a story on it. But is that something the listener should check out? Was it something new about the guy?
Yeah, I was being interviewed there, and the subject was Anthony Fauci, how he's disappeared from the headlines because now he's a liability for the Democrats. That's what that's about, and it's about his character, how deceitful he is. Of course, you and I know a lot about that, but yeah, that's what that's about. You know, Chuck, on a different note, did you hear today that story about how they took a poll and they found that about 34% of Americans thought it was worth risking nuclear war to help the Ukraine? Seriously. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's the backstory there, that 34% of Americans are suicidal? Is that what we're talking about?
And apparently the people that think like that have no grandchildren or children or spouse. You know, I'm wondering, like, well, it's not going to hit me. I tell you truthfully, Selwyn, I think that, if you live in New York, Los Angeles, okay, maybe Seattle, anyway, there's certain cities, you know, that those are the targets. And normally where the most people are the targets. You know, they're not going to bomb No Trees, Texas. All right. Put it that way. not with a missile. You don't think there's a city like that, do you?
No, but there are military targets, too, and Russia has 6,000 nuclear weapons. And listen, if you take a look at a fallout map of where they'd expect the fallout to be, not too much of the country would be left unscathed, so it wouldn't be a very good thing. I think these people maybe need to watch that 1983 movie again the day after, which does exaggerate things, but nonetheless was designed to scare people. And by the way, Chuck, I know we're coming up
Red
on the
Dawn
end. But
also. Go ahead. What?
You know how you know when you're really, really, really depressed? When you watch The Day After to lift your spirits.
Oh, there you go. All right. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank
and
you,
by
Chuck,
the way,
God bless.
No trees, Texas. Really. Yeah, it's a city. And there are trees. And I stopped one time and asked him, you got the wrong name. We know that. Dummy, get out of here. Get your gas and go. Okay. Yes. Selwyn Duke, thank you, sir. Look forward to our next visit. Thank you, Sway. Thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.